perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Tonight!
And welcome to episode 240 of Geek Grills. Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host Amber.
Hiya.
And Ray. All right, so today's topic is sustainable fashion. Because I picked this because a lot of people complain about fast fashion, and I was like, well, let's take a look at one of the alternatives then, instead of yelling about it, because there's plenty to yell about. We'll look at actual, like, solutions. But we'll get to that in a moment. So what have y'all been up to? Amber?
Much traveling. I drove to New York. My son got COVID and couldn't go with me, so I drove all by myself. And then I went to the visitation for his father. And then I stopped in Sherman, New York, after a few days up in Buffalo area. And I went camping with all my old crew for a couple of days. And that was lovely and fantastic to reconnect with old friends and chosen family. And then I, after 2 days of camping, couldn't quite make the trip all the way back to North Carolina. So I passed out in a hotel in West Virginia, got home on Friday, and then Saturday got up and went to Raleigh. And because Sunday was the bridal shower for same son's upcoming nuptials, and worked really hard helping with food and teaching little girls to make tiaras, which was adorable. So yeah, a lot of that. Planning the East Coast meetup, which is in just over 30 days, the Frog Pants meetup in Asheville, North Carolina. We had one cancellation, so we have one spot. So if somebody wants in, let me know. We've got this mansion we're staying in down to. It's like $160 for the whole weekend. It's only $80 a night, which is cheaper than hotels in Asheville. Stay in this mansion, and another Frog Pantser and I are cooking a big brunch, and we'll have karaoke on site and a gaming day and, of course, all the fun that Asheville entails. Weird thing about the trip is I think I'm starting to wonder if I'm one of those people that somehow became super immune to COVID. My sister texted me when I was camping on Tuesday, the day after I left. And she had COVID. And so did my niece. And so did my friend Grady. And like Tiffany and Ella got it bad, really bad. Like Tiffany's heart rate was super, super low, like in the 50s overnight. And my niece, her fever went up to almost 104. And I spent more time with Grady than anybody else did. I didn't get it. But with my sister, I slept in the same bed and spent every night in her hot tub with her. For 3 nights. Negative. Negative test Tuesday. Never got any symptoms. Negative test Thursday. Got one at my doctor's office Friday. I never got it. And I was definitely extremely exposed, even compared to the other people in the gathering that did end up with it. So, my plan is to... it'll be in my anticipating. I guess I'll leave it off there, but because it goes here, mm-hmm. is I'm going to try and schedule a blood donation soon. Because I understand that is pretty much the only way to find out if you're one of those people or if you have a lot of antibodies, and if I can, even though it's hard for me to donate blood because my veins are stupid, I will contribute to the antibody pool.
They will thank you immensely for that. Especially they are really low this summer.
Yeah. And if not, I guess I'm just lucky, or my autoimmune condition is turning out to be a superpower.
Well, cross our fingers either way.
Right?
Yeah. Your immune system is like, no! None of that!
Do not want.
Yeah.
It beating up the right thing makes me happy. So what about you guys? How about you, Ray?
I binged Sandman this weekend with my husband. Because of course we did. I think he was looking more forward to it than I was. But very good. I'm okay with, like, there was only, like, the changes that they made were minimal, or I perceived them as minimal. And it was just more of a curiosity about why certain things were changed than anything else. But for the most part, it's fine. Like, I don't really care about, like, oh, they got this actor for this part. Like, no, that's fine. I think everybody did a fantastic job as far as, like, the acting goes. Scott was absolutely blown away by Lucifer, and we all knew that was coming. That's his, like, favorite comic character anyway, so having one of his favorite actresses portray, he's just like, it's adorable. New Harley Quinn came out, which I got to see a lot of because we were distracted by Sandman. And then I've picked up Stardew Valley. Because at the start of the year, they did an update which added Ginger Island, which I haven't gone through everything yet. So that's kind of been my little relaxation addiction for the past couple weeks as I try to get more achievements done and wrap that up. And there's a new character who I'm not best friends with, so I gotta fix that. It's very cute. He's like, it's adorable. Let's see. We did After the End, which was at the end of July, and my character of 6 years is finally retired, which is amazing. Like, I started this game with this character, and now she is a super agent girl, a super agent spy doing her own thing, which is lots of fun. Let's see. Scott picked up Stray, which is the game where you play a sweet little orange kitty. And it is so adorable. Like, I absolutely love it. I like watching him play it. I will play it. We've got to redo the thing where we can share each other's games on Steam again, because occasionally it forgets that it's connected, and then I only have access to my library, which is not as immense, but I do recommend it. It is super cute, super sweet. Yeah. And then I got word back that my breasts are not trying to kill me, so that's always good.
Because
I'm over 40, so I have to do that mammogram thing every year. And I got the 3D mammogram because it's covered by my insurance, and they still have to squish it the same painful way. So I'm like, F it, get the 3D so you can see exactly what I'm talking about when I say I have lumps all over in there. I'm sorry, they're fibrous and awful. And if you go to a specialist, this is something I've learned and I didn't know before, and I wish they would have told me, if you have to be sent to a specialist for a mammogram, if they can't just do it in your gynecologist's office for whatever reason, they see a shadow or something, they're not sure what it is, and I have to recommend you have to keep seeing that specialist. You can't just go back to your gynecologist because they don't have the technology to do it there. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm grumpy because they also, like, I think it's an automatic thing and they want me to go back and for two separate follow-up appointments, and I'm like, no, I have one follow-up appointment and you're gonna tell me about both of these things at it because I don't have a limited PTO. I don't know what your people's problem is. If you want me to pay you an additional copay fee so I can get two appointments on one day at the same time, I'll do it. I'll be grumpy about it, but I'll do it because I don't have the ability to just keep taking time off. Don't get old. It sucks. And yeah, and that's it. Like, I could go into a lot more about after the end, but
only if you want to.
Oh man, it was just fun. It was my retirement game. I got like my own special little Molly Sass moment because this character has been a saloon girl, and when I started playing her, I didn't know if she was gonna. She was like the girl next door saloon girl, and I didn't know if she was gonna stay that way or if she was gonna become a more conniving, manipulative character, because she had the traits to do both. So I gave her Nightingale, which is the high empathy, like I can talk you into recovery, and I also gave her Silver Tongue Devil, which is I can talk my way out of crap. Oh god. So it was really fun to see how she did that, and for the most part she was a good girl, and every manipulative thing she did was basically for the benefit of her, what she saw as the benefit for her town and the people of that town, to help like solidify it and have it grow from being like these characters squatting at an abandoned prison to actually having like a town with infrastructure and and not taxes. We're not allowed to call them taxes in game because other players get very upset at the concept of taxes. But if we call them donations for the benefit of everybody, then they're okay about it.
Yeah, we call it the town coffers.
Yes,
not taxes
and donations. But and does donation. The exact same thing taxes would do.
Yep.
It's actually really interesting to play to get, be in a game where like. You're having to think of infrastructure and like just the whole little microcosm of the society and how we actually are able to like get stuff done and like round people up and like do like
get achievements.
Yeah, do town.
Be a town, get achievements.
Defend town, like impact on the in the political spectrum of the game, like diplomatic relationships with other cities and town, and it's really interesting because I don't think I've been in one that really goes.
Yeah, like all the
plays
other,
out like this.
All the other LARPs that I've been a part of are. You are in a encampment in the middle of nowhere, and there are roving bands of NPCs around you.
The other ones encourage murder hobos.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, which is just basically like, kill it. Don't talk to it, just kill it. Whatever it is, it's coming to eat your face, just kill it. And this is like, no, these are other towns. These are other people. Like, you can talk to them. You can actually, like, it's more like Mass Effect, where it's like, no, I talk to the person instead of just shooting them, so I can get this cutscene now, and we can establish relationships, and you know, it's fun. I really enjoy it. It was a really good send off, even though the rain canceled some of it. Grumpy.
Yeah,
but they did their best. It was very good. Basically, my retirement was the retirement is an option that you have when your character gets to a certain CP limit to kind of help wrap up your story, but also get you off stage so you're not
OP.
Yeah, you're not overpowered and thus skewing the fun for everybody else. Because if we have so many characters with this much XP, we have to send in bigger and bigger things that our newer characters can't really fight. So this helps keep everybody in a better range, and it's pretty healthy actually. I like being able to wrap up stories and get them off stage, and occasionally they can be pulled back on for like info cameos. Dumps or whatever.
Cameos.
Like, so mine will possibly be able to come back. Well, probably be able to come back because her whole thing is setting herself in deep cover for a couple years in the anticipation that town will eventually deal with this conglomeration of people that are just making trouble and being awful. So that way they basically already have somebody on the inside. But because I'm in deep cover, I can't, like, send them any notification or any communication during that time. So. And then my next character is going to be fun. It's just going to be an Iron Chef cultist. Because it's the far future and everything is weird, so everything can be a cult. And I just really like that idea, so... I'm going to stop talking about after the end. Now I'm good.
It's fine.
It's really, really fun. And the fact that it is at Possum Trot, which is like this Western replica town, really helps with the whole vibe of it. So I do recommend if you're interested in Weird West LARPing.
Yes. The Gonzo Science Weird West LARPing.
So, what about you, Linda?
I finished Juan.
Yay!
The little
he's so cute.
I had problems with his eyes for a little bit. Like I was like, I put in the eyes at first, and I was like, "You look like a demon." Let me fix that. So it took a little bit of finagling to get him to look cute and not demonic.
His drinks are demonic. He's not.
Yes. Got to play Aeon last Tuesday, and that was fun. I got to play my weird psychic alien. So she squidly. Was my little squiddly. She's fun. Unfortunately, the market day that I was supposed to have on Sunday got canceled. They thought it was going to rain. It did not rain.
There were like all these like notifications. It's going to be an awful storm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Sunshine. Not a thing. It's fine. I have made craft room progress. I can see the floor.
Hey.
Don't look over there.
I can see the floor.
I can see floor space and like shelves and things. So that's good. I have started on a Jack Skellington. I had a commission for him with my new little kit. So I'm using my new crochet book that I got in kit. Sally to follow because they wanted a Jack and a Sally. So
nice.
And fortunately, the kit comes with exactly what you need to make a Jack and a Sally.
Perfect.
So, cool.
Perfect. I'm going to do that. Also, what's really neat about this book is not only does it have like the amigurumis, but it actually has a chart to do like a wall hanging of the moon with the hill in the foreground. So I'm going to take a look at that and be like, can I make you? I mean, I can, but it also, like, there's a little, you're supposed to use embroidery thread to embroider this, but I think I'm just going to maybe cut it out of felt and, like, glue it on, but there's a thing, my camera will focus on it, there's, like, a thing to make the Jack and Sally that go on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm reading the instructions, and it's like, take embroidery thread. And I was like, are you kidding me? No.
That is very, very thin and small, and this is not.
Fiddly. It's fiddly. I don't like it. I'm trying, those who are watching the stream, I made a mistake, because the yarn that comes in the kit is twisted up in a little pre-skein thing. And I started crocheting with it and then looked at it and went, you know, maybe I should put this in a ball. So I have where I started crocheting, ball, and a knot in the middle. So
yes.
That's just going to be my life for a little while. But anyway, That's what I've been up to. Don't fall on the ground. So now we're going to get into our discussion topic, which is sustainable fashion. Oh, there you are, Kat. I decided on this topic because I'm actually a big fan of sustainable fashion. I was talking before we like started recording. I recently went into like an actual boutique shop department store, which I haven't been in for a couple of years because my main place that I buy clothing is either Goodwill or a thrift store. And I just had a moment of sticker shock. I was like, why is this shirt $100?
God.
Was just like, what? I could go to Goodwill and buy 20 shirts for that. What is happening? And nothing against like department stores and what have you. It's just for me personally, I prefer to go and get something that's maybe gently used. Even consignment shops, like the consignment stores, the most you may pay for something, depending on what it is like, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks, depending on where you go. And it's not just the money aspect of it, but again, we're talking about sustainable fashion. So it's the fact that this is being reused, it's not going into a landfill. It's, not making more terrible pollution. Because that's the problem with the alternate of this, which is fast fashion,
Good
is
to
it's
me.
terrible for the environment. It's real bad for the workers who make the clothing. It's just, and the clothing is usually pretty crap. Bad all around.
I think ever since I was a teenager, maybe even younger, because I know we used to, when I was a kid, definitely would like go to Goodwill and there was a consignment store called Reruns that I practically lived at. It was the best. I remember like being a teenager and they had Calvin Klein jeans, and Calvin Klein jeans were like the thing in like the mid-90s. So I was like, oh my God, I have fashionable clothes for once. But like to this day, like especially jeans, I hate buying jeans like fresh off a rack. Like, no, I want to go to Goodwill. I want to go to a place that's they've already like started to be broke in, but they haven't like they're not completely worn out yet. And additional benefit is occasionally when you go to Goodwill or consignment stores and you check the pockets after you get them home, they pay for themselves. Honestly, I have found like a couple dollars. Once I found a $20 bill inside a pair of jeans that I bought, it was like, okay, cool.
I have never had that happen. But I also, it's good motivation to learn to sew even just a tiny bit. Because boy, oh boy, I mean, the money you save and having unique clothing for me was always a thing. Like, I was poor and a goth, and Hot Topic didn't even exist. So, AmVets, Goodwill, and like grabbing bits and pieces and slapping them together has always just been a thing I do. Like, you have a few staples in your closet and you can just, add some stuff and eventually hand them to other people. I am a victim sometimes of just going to get something when I need it. And for like special occasions. And that's a little like, I shouldn't do that. But I still try. Like, I bought a dress, and now I can't remember what my initial thing I wore it for was, but I already had planned. I wore it to the shower this weekend, and then I got swatches from the bride to be, and I'm going to dye it for the wedding. And it's like, it's a lot for me to buy a dress. I really, really have talked myself into like buying a dress because I don't wear dresses often. But if I've got a plan and it's event after event after event, like mm-hmm. how many times, if I already know in my head, like 10 times I'm going to wear this, I can allow myself.
I completely feel that. I love the fact that you have the dress and you wore it and then you have the swatches that you're going to dye it and you're just, it lives again.
Yes. And I might be asking, I don't know. I want to talk to you, Linda, about making something because it's like tank sleeved, mm-hmm. but it's all lacy and stuff. And I'll wait and see if the dye job works.
It depends on what the fabric's made of. I have had terrible things happen with fabric dye. And
yeah, yeah. And, like, I don't necessarily believe what it says on it either. I need, like, olive and wine and colors that aren't exactly true to, like, something I'm going to get out of a Rit bottle. So we'll see what happens. And if it's close enough, it's close enough.
I
need is it's in October. So I'm going to need some kind of shawl or
scarf,
a little jacket would be stupid.
I tried to dye this dress red because it's polka dotted and I wanted a ladybug dress. I tried dyeing it 3 times and it turned orange. I have tried so many times to put more red dye into this dress. And it is like, I am made of, what is it, polyester? I am never going to be red.
Or like rayon, which will never die, right?
Yeah.
No matter how much vinegar and heat you apply. But dyeing is a really good way, a really good inexpensive way to revive things or change them up that people don't think of. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to throw something out, especially when you wear a lot of black. And actually, this came up camping because we decided... Somebody heard of this cool thing because we were making eggs for a whole bunch of people and everybody wanted different stuff in it that you can use a Ziploc bag and put or a silicone bag and put your eggs in whatever you want in it and throw it in a pot of boiling water and everybody gets their own little omelet. But they're mm-hmm. like, we don't have a big enough pot. And my friend Drow, he has a big pot and he had it with him because like this is what he dyes his clothes in.
Oh no, I don't know if I, well, I guess if your eggs are in bags, it'd be
well, okay. Yeah, I mean, you wash it out and then you're boiling and it's, yeah, everything's in an individual bag. So we ended up, because we had a dye vat, everybody tried this pseudo sous vide egg experiment, which worked, by the way, game changer for group camping. Holy crap. But especially when you wear a lot of black clothes was the point, they fade and then everything's a different black. And, you know, you could joke about it, because is it your summer black, you know, your faded black, is it your nouveau black? But you can, with that stuff, as long as you have things, and if you do buy clothes at Goodwill that are older and stuff, the quality is generally better, and they do last longer. And when you go with cotton, which is a more sustainable, you know, fabric, or hemp is super strong, your clothes will last longer, but if they fade, man, for like $3... you can dye them, and it's like new clothes.
Yeah, speaking
go ahead. I will say, because I did tie dyeing over the 2019-2020 lockdown thing, because I haven't done it in forever. And then before that, I had actually dyed with a wedding dress that I bought at a... I bought it. It was a massively discounted. It was $75 at David's Bridal. And then I dyed it. So it was the lavender, closer to a lavender that I wanted because I was trying to do Corpse Bride. But I'm like,
wedding
oh my gosh.
Was so fun.
I had no idea how much water it goes into making clothes, like just the dyeing process. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I never even thought of it. So I'm like thinking in my head of like all the different colors I have. I'm like, but I will say like, I don't really sew. Like, I don't know how I probably know the basics, but I'm not, I sew with this glue gun. So when I do a lot of costumes, I actually buy parts from Goodwill and repurpose them and occasionally make puppy dog eyes at my friends who can sew and put them together. But it does have like a lot of it's like one of the things I did buy was like some ridiculous guys early 2000s because it was just past ska, but like some red plaid pants, and I had some old like pleather pants, but I couldn't wear the pleather pants anymore, so I cut a strip out of the pleathers and used it basically to make the red plaid pants like about an 2 inches bigger by adding
Okay.
like the stripe on the side.
That's called adding a gore, my dear. You added a gore to your pants to make them bigger.
I made them look awesome, is what I did.
I'm trying to help you. Gore.
Okay, now I know what I did. But
Yes.
it's that kind of thing. Like, that's how I would approach a lot of stuff for cosplay as well. It's like, oh, okay, I can buy this shirt, fix the sleeves. I've got fabric paint, and I have a hot glue, and I can, if it doesn't paint on right, I can put a patch on top of it and make it into something else. And most of these costumes I keep for a while. You were talking about like trying to talk yourself into a dress. I bought a dress 6 years, probably 5 years ago for the Molly Sass character, and I have worn that dress so many times. Like every time there's like, oh, I need a Victorian character? Well, I have a dress now. And it's a two-part. It's a jacket and a skirt. So it's like, oh, I could just wear the skirt. I could just wear a jacket. It's the most expensive clothing item I own. And I still got it on sale. And it was still like $200. Like, it's expensive. But I'm like, I wear the crap out of that thing.
I'm trying
Yeah,
to
it's really
think
hard
of.
too with trying to do things like sustainable fashion, just like when we talked about ethical consumerism, the same stuff where if you go to services that help you or you try to buy brands that are sustainable, it's so expensive, it's out of reach of people with, only a moderate income because, I mean, there's good reasons. I mean, clothing is industry is one of the most exploitive work forces. It's where they're always busting child labor, in horrible conditions, and they're making sneakers and all that cheap stuff that just people buy and throw away and buy and throw away. So obviously we three are very motivated to find, ways we can afford and not be helpless to, well, just it's a way to do good. It's another way to do good in the world.
Yeah. Well, I have a list of some business models because I found for sustainable fashion that I think is very interesting. And it's kind of a good segue of like, you have the exploitative side of it, but there are some newer business models that they're trying to implement. So one is it's called circular fashion. So basically they're trying to think about I don't want to just read off the wiki page, but it's a little bit complicated.
Well, the description, I have another
Reuse
article
of
that says
discarded
circular
and recycled
fashion
material.
is reuse of discarded and recycled.
Because they're thinking about like the life cycle of entire garments and making sure that you could like it's like what Rey does, where you take pieces of something and you put it on something else.
Yeah, I think all three of us t really lean toward upcycling as well.
And then there's what they call biomimicry. So they're trying to seek they're seeking to infinitely reuse materials. So it's like making sure that the materials that you're using kind of stay in harmony with like what's available, and like they're ta it's very interesting that they're like biocompatible. with biodegradable fibers that can like actually, you know,
oh, like become... mushroom leather, because then it also helps reduce carbon footprint, right?
Yeah, so it's like they're trying to make things out of stuff that will actually biodegrade. Which, you know, we used to do that back in the day.
Yeah.
And then there's rental and sharing models, which I actually did a few years ago now. I did Gwenny Bee, which is a, like, it was like a subscription rental clothing service where you would pick out a couple pieces and they would send it to you and you would wear it. And then I think you didn't have to wash it. They washed everything. They made sure all the clothing was washed, but they would send it with a package for you to send it back to them. So they would wash and make sure it was clean and then send it out to somebody else who was renting it. Unless you loved it so much you wanted to buy it. There was that option. I think you had a certain number of days or a week or something to send it back to them. So it's like you're sharing a closet with all of these other subscribers. I think I stopped doing it because we were trying to save money. It wasn't that expensive, but you know, we were poorer at the time than we are now.
Mm-hmm. Trying to cut down anywhere you can, yeah.
Right. Then there's vintage and resale, which is basically thrift stores. I have very good luck most of the time when I go to like a thrift store or Goodwill. I can't explain it. I just usually happen to stumble upon either the exact thing I'm looking for or something that I didn't realize that I needed it's usually for a character. I'm pretty happy with my wardrobe. I don't go out to shop for regular clothes very often. I'm usually looking for costuming, to be very honest.
And sometimes that can be recycled into your like everyday stuff. Like a lot of a lot of Molly's clothes was a lot of dresses and hues of blue and stuff. So like without the corset, I could just wear those to work. Like it looks like business casual. So it's like, hooray.
And I thrift Halloween costumes for the Halloween Fairy Project.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are so, with little kids costumes.
Yeah.
They're worn once and then what? Landfill. So
yeah.
I'm really grateful for people that take them to the thrift store.
Then there's an upswing in like the recycling. Like there are some manufacturers that are creating incentives for like customers to recycle their clothing, which I think is a good thing, because that means it'll go into one of these other, you know, either the repurposing or what have you. Or maybe even to like the vintage store or something. I don't know what they do with the, you know, when you turn it in, I don't know where it goes. So they are at least trying. And then they've got like, it's called a tailored resurgence. So it's tailored couture is... if you go and get your clothing actually tailored, it reduces, like, it's the opposite of fast fashion. It's this is distinctly, specifically made for you. Which, by the way, is why movie stars always look awesome in all the clothes they wear, is because they all have, even their t-shirts are tailored. Just, I don't think that's a secret, but if you didn't know... That's why they always look good in everything they wear.
They're not shaped perfectly. No, everyone's different. Some people can afford a tailor.
Yeah. Yep. That is that. It is one of the lesser popular ones because, as Ember said, it's, tailoring is expensive. As someone who remembers how much it costs to get my wedding dress tailored. Yeah.
I didn't tailor mine. There was duct tape. We made it work.
And then one that I think is very interesting is open source fashion, which is designers just sharing their patterns and designs so that consumers can, like,
man, I gotta get good
themselves.
Goals.
Yep. My mom used to make all of her clothes, so luckily, unfortunately, my mom's a bit of a pack rat, so when I got older, I think I was like 13 or 14, I found a bunch of her old clothes that she made for herself in high school, including jeans and, like, dresses, and I stole every single one of them. She did have to explain to me about the yellow snow patch. I did not understand what that was. I don't get a lot of snow down here in Georgia. Why would it be yellow? Don't eat yellow snow.
I had a great period of that when I was in my teens where I raided my mom's closet. And so there was a lot of, like, 60s, 70s, like, mini dresses. And harem pants were a thing at some point, and she had all these like satin harem pants outfits, and I had a velvet skirt and vest with ruffles, and it so fit into my like whole Adam Ant crazy aesthetic in the early 80s, and I just like totally raided her closet. It was terrific.
Yeah, my mom's, it was a bunch of late 60s, early 70s, and it was mid 90s, so like Woodstock 2 was, they were psyching everybody up for that, and like the resurgence of all things 60s and hippie. I call it neo-hippie. And I was like, yes, I am prepared.
And that's the thing, though, too, is because fashion goes in cycles. Mm-hmm. Now that we, you know, people have been hanging on to things like that, like I know, I don't know if it's super popular right now, but I know for a while, like, the 70s was, like, coming back into fashion. Like, the big, like...
Oh, bell-bottoms and stuff.
The peasant shirts, and things like that. And, I enjoy that aesthetic.
And I was wondering, when you were talking about, you know, life cycle fashion, if anybody thinks about that, too, where... If someone created like a system of things coming in and going out and storing it properly so that when that fashion comes around, you know, like a bit really big closet share rather than just sending everything to the dump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'm sure somebody has the mental palace to do that to like figure out that like pattern.
Yeah, it's
around down. About 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not gonna lie, when I did the LARP where it was based in the 90s, I still have stuff from the 90s. Like there's certain things I'm like, no, it's still in good condition. I'm like, I'm willing to get this covered in fake blood. It was like some old Levi like denim cult shirt, which I have not seen since the 90s. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll get this wrecked. But
I'm sure you can find many, many a 90s shirt in some of the vintage, quote unquote, vintage stores, aka thrift stores.
Yeah. And it really depends. Because there are companies that, like, I love Hot Topic, but you're fast fashion, and it makes me very sad. But your band shirts, I can buy replacement band shirts for when we get too big for some of the ones that we bought in the 90s and early aughts.
I am glad that, like, the big fast fashion companies like Shein and Wish and stuff are kind of getting put on blast right now because they are not good for this planet.
Oh, in all the ways. Not... I mean, the shipping and then the microfibers and the way they're manufactured and...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it.
Oh, man. I was so sad when I found out because I thought I was doing good with Hot Topic because it's very... It's like maybe a few times a year, usually on sale. I try and make the best of it as a little treat. And then I'm like, fast fashion.
Damn it. Why?
How dare you? Also, you don't even carry Goth Essentials anymore. I went in to get a fishnet shirt, and the guy looked at me like I was crazy. Like, that is Goth 101. I can make one out of fishnet stockings. Fine. But I used to be able to just come to the store and buy it. Grumpy. Grumpy old Goth.
Easiest way to make a fishnet shirt out of stockings, just cut the crotch out of them. Yep. The legs become the arms. There you go. There's some knowledge for you.
A good way to reuse them after the first time you wear them, and they will indefinitely have a hole. You can only tie those little threads together so many times. But the sleeves, it's fine.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of, like, things that have holes in them, the only time I will buy jeans, I don't even wear jeans anymore because I wore them for years and years and then realized that it was much more comfortable to wear stretchy pants. But if I did buy jeans, the only time I would buy them with holes pre-made in them is from a thrift store. These jeans that you buy at the box stores that have pre-holes.
That's so wild.
And they're like $60 to $90. I'm like, why?
I don't get it. I really don't. I never got it. Like, it was a thing when I was growing up as well. And I'm like, you want to lend me those jeans? Like, I could get you a pair of $5 jeans. Just lend them to me for, like, a few days. And I promise you, you'll have, like, little strands at the bottom. I've got some sandpaper right here, you know. I got some bleach if you want some particular staining on that, because that was also a thing, like stain, like bleach staining hearts and flowers and whatnot.
Yeah.
I never did any of that. All my rips and tears were earned.
Yeah, like some of them come like with, I've seen one pair, and I don't, this was the internet, so this may have been a fake thing. But, like, I swear to Christ, I saw somewhere that someone was selling pre-mudded jeans. They already had mud stains on them, and I'm like, just go outside!
Not that hard.
The only time I've seen something like that is, and I've seen in Prince Edward Island, and I've seen in North Carolina, because we've got that long bend of clay, geologically. And it stains the shit out of everything. Like, there is nothing that will take out this Carolina clay situation. And so there are places that have turned that into tourist industry. And it's like, I think my in-laws bought clay-dyed socks in Prince Edward Island. They were, you know, these orange socks for my kids. And I was like, all their socks already look like that?
It's like, if you want red, you just come down to Georgia. A little bit south, you'll go from orange to red.
Yep. I remember we had, for a while, it was Georgia clay dyed shirts and kudzu. Georgia kudzu dyed green shirts. Ugh, kudzu.
You can dye with kudzu?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to find a something use for to do. It. They're trying to find a use for it because it's eating us. It's eating the South.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's horribly invasive.
Yep.
Somebody was talking about trying to make, like, kudzu salad or something like that, and I was
You can. It is edible.
You can.
Not just for goats.
I would much rather have just goats. Just let them eat all the kudzu.
Yeah, I learned camping that knotweed has medicinal properties, so I need to look into that because we've been fighting that locally too.
So, sorry, that was a tangent. So I happen to think, and I like sustainable fashion. That is anything you can take away from this ramble. There's a lot of ways to do it. It's not just the companies that may be a little bit on the pricier side. There's actually other models that they're trying to do. I mean, if nothing else, you know, just go check out your local Goodwill. There's treasures. You might have to, you know, dig for them a little bit, but there's a bunch of stuff there.
Goodwill is not an in and out. It is a, I'm there for an hour or two to try and find what I'm looking for or something close. I will be upfront about that because it's not, you're not always guaranteed a certain item, but it is lots of fun to find.
Yeah. And sometimes you just get lucky. That there's a brown Western dress that I wore as a character for the year zero of ATE when we were playtesting it. I found that at Goodwill. It was literally a prairie dress. I think it may have been made for somebody's school production of Oklahoma. Not gonna lie. It has no tags, and the seams are unfinished. So, pretty sure that was handmade. But I found it, and I wore it as my character.
And honestly, depending on where you are, you can find some really interesting stuff. Like, I found this beautiful, like, black and red Kurta tunic. Like, very Middle Eastern style. It was gorgeous. And I ended up basically buying it for Frank. So I'm like, if you don't need this for your character, I want this. Like, I want this for me. I want this for my character. It is $5. This is a steal. It was 100% cotton. It was black, but it was still so light that even you weren't dying in the summer. It was amazing.
I have a wardrobe item that was just like, I get compliments every time I wear it. I get all the attention. Like, oh my God, people coming over. And it was just, I was passing a Goodwill. I was like, I have a feeling, because that happens, right? The radar goes off, and I just went in and I got this dress, little black tee, polka dots, cherries, and it has pockets, and it fit me for $5.
Ah, the best.
How in the world? Why would someone put that in there? But I have it now. And I had fabric at home that matches, because it has pockets, but they're not very deep, as mm-hmm. pockets do. But I had matching fabric at home and made a tie-on pocket.
Yikes.
So also, when I go dancing in it, I don't need a purse.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also just stretching out your current clothes. Like, do you really need new pants or a new shirt, or are you just kind of impulse buying? It's like, oh, I've got plenty of shirts at home, or I've got plenty of jeans, or, yeah, I could just patch up that one shirt or that one pair of pants. It's fine.
And patches can be fun.
They can.
Totally, like, make patches intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And you're creating actual slow fashion.
Yes.
So much fun.
So
also just, like, trading with friends.
Yeah, you can tradesies.
Yep.
That sounds like a fun little party, doesn't it? That's a great brunch idea.
Reminds me, I have to get a hold of somebody whose clothes I haven't gone through yet.
So it was a nice little toe dip into the world of sustainable fashion. There's more things to be read, of course. There are companies that are sustainably sourced. You know, maybe they're on the pricier side for now, but as we get more and more into, you know, more companies doing this, it'll probably come down in price.
I did see some that, like, started at $20, which was really good, because a lot of the ones I was initially looking at started at $100, and that was a bit of a sticker shock.
Yeah.
So $20, I could do $20 for some certain things, that's fine.
Yep. So, if any of y'all listeners, I can talk, it's fine. If any of your listeners want to chime in, you can email us at geekgirls@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at Geek Grills. You know, tell us your favorite thrift store. I may not live where you live, but maybe I'll go there one day if I visit. So what are y'all most anticipating coming up? You want to go first, Amber?
Sure. My daughter, Courtney, is coming to visit. She should be arriving. I guess they're flying in Thursday, and so I should see her Friday and Saturday. And my son, Connor, is planning to take a train in from Raleigh. So they are actually going to meet for the first time in person. Well, 18. At all. So that's kind of cool and exciting. What else? I have notes. Oh, I have like a million appointments because I basically traveled for 2 weeks and holy crap. So I have like the eye doctor and the dentist, and I have to take the cat to the vet, and like the kids are going to work, and I have to get vaccinated around the 15th, and I want to try to do this blood giving thing, and I have to take my husband's car for maintenance, and like, good God. I just, it's a lot of catch up. And I have to sometime in between now and Sunday for part-time gamers, with all that stuff going on, play some Doki Doki Literature Club, which I have not yet had the opportunity because I've been running around the country like a maniac. How about you, Ray?
I don't think Doki Doki's too long. I think it's a 10-hour game, so it's not like a 90-hour game that you're being assigned, at least. I will say I'm looking forward to we're doing a board game night since Gods got canceled. So we're going to do that on Sunday. Just have some people come over, play board games, hang out, and that'll be good. I finish up the Stardew Valley achievements that I'm going for. I actually just like had a conversation with my husband, like, so I haven't played a game in a while. Is this okay? Am I spending too much time on the game? Like, I feel like I should be doing something else, but I really just want to not think and enjoy this silly game. He's like, you're fine. And then maybe pulling out my tablet and working on some old costumes, because I found a list of, not doing Dragon Con, but I did find a list of previous costumes I was supposed to have done for future Dragon Cons or then current ones that I haven't finished. So I should do that.
Do that. You can still have a photo shoot and not be at Dragon Con.
I know. I think I'm just having, because I missed MomoCon, I'm just having like severe con envy this year. Because usually it's not so bad, because I'm like, oh, I did MomoCon. But this year, I'm like, oh, God, the FOMO. Why do I have FOMO already? It hasn't even happened. And I'm already, like, sad. And, like, I'm happy for my friends that are going and they're going to have a great time. But I'm like, pout.
We'll do something fun.
We'll do something fun. It'll be fine. There are apparently more people staying in town than I thought. So I'm excited about catching up with folks. What about you, Linda?
Really sure, actually. I was supposed to be going to Gods this weekend, but because it was at a tiny indoor site and COVID numbers are rising, two of my coworkers have it. Yay.
Oh.
So, and the new girl quit. So there's two of us doing, there's two of us doing the work of five people.
Eek!
Yay! She didn't even finish training. She was overwhelmed, and then she just didn't come in on Monday. We were like, all right. Cool.
Oops-a-doodles.
So I kind of have a free weekend. We may go over and visit Matthew's grandmother. She is not doing so well, so we just want to go check up on her, make sure she's okay. Which, speaking of, like, being immune, I apparently was... There were people
that were near me.
And I have no symptoms, and I tested negative. I was just like, okay, maybe I'm just whirled away in my corner enough so that no one breathed on me. I don't know.
Yeah, we got lucky at ATE
and
we did
have had it, right?
No, I've never had it. Who? I am vaccinated though.
Yeah. I was like, thank you, St. Dolly.
Yeah. Thank you, St. Dolly. Yeah, no, I try not to be vindictive or petty, but one of the people, no, there's three people at my work who have it. One of the people that has it never vaccinated because they didn't believe in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure they're going through the ringer right now. Oof. So I'm trying to send them good vibes and not I told you so vibes.
You're trying to be empathetic with the eye roll.
Yes. So there's that. But next week, a book that I want is coming out at the Barnes & Noble. I went, actually, this probably I could have mentioned this earlier. I went yesterday and got two of the three books in the Murazushi series because I wanted to see how it was different than the live action drama. And I realized that I like all of this. I think it's a woman who wrote it. I don't remember. I like all of this author's works. So there's two other series that they've written that are also three books each. Each book is $20. Am I going to spend $140 on all of these series? Yes, the answer is yes. Because wow. They're really good and I really enjoy them. So I was like, all right, my authoress, I don't know if you're a man or a woman, take my money. I don't need it.
Who hasn't done that? I've done that. I've picked up like a manga or two and like read it and like fell in love, immediately bought 20 more volumes of it so I could figure out how it's going to end.
I mean, look, and the books, granted, they are $20 a piece, but they are beautiful. They are beautiful covers, art. They have art on the inside. It's just they're very good quality. So I don't mind spending the money for them. Cool. But other than that, I don't know. I had plans, and now they are no plans.
Now they are not plans. Such is the pandemic world we live in. Remember, yes. Folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on the 15th of August at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to have our tribute to the late, great Nichelle Nichols.
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/girls. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our Twitch page below. You're a patron. You can suggest a topic for us. We will do it. Give us your suggestions. We'd love to hear them. So where can we find you on the interwebs?
Easy for me. 9of12.com. That's NINEOF12.com.
You can find me on Instagram under Dappledame.
And you can find me on Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And you can check out my website at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.